Good evening, folks.
Good evening.
You know, the presence of the Lord is in this place. And I'm hoping that it will continue to go deeper into our hearts. I was blessed tonight with the reading of the scriptures and the songs, and then, you know, the pamphlet that was read, very powerful. Had a man that came to our church when I pastored at Calvary Baptist in Kingston, Tennessee. And he did not come to our church at this particular time, but he had a praying mother. She was a godly saint. And so he was a good man in moving steel and things like that, building. And he would always go on Friday, and he'd sit down on the stool and order him a beer. Then he'd drink some beer and he'd go on home. And he'd do that every Friday. This particular Friday, he said, I went in there and I ordered my beer. And he said, they brought it and set it before me. And he said, when they did, said the Holy Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, I didn't drink one drop of it. But he said, I said, Lord, if you'll let me live to Sunday morning, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to get saved. And his name was Charlie Roberts, and I had the privilege to pastor him. He never missed anything from the time that God came into his life. And that's what I long to see again. That's not the only one I could tell you about. But our God is interested in this meeting. Our God's interested in you. Our God is interested in his remnant, and God is interested in this nation. I said last night, I was here when the end of World War II. Before that, we were in a critical condition, but not near as critical as it is today. I personally believe if God don't help us in revival, that we're going to come under great, great persecution. You've never seen suffering like it's going to happen. And the one thing that's happening in our land is God has no place, hardly, in this nation. We are in such sin, and we have sinned so bad that whatever God may allow to come in judgment to this land and to our families even of this land, I want you to know we deserve that and probably more too. We've had the gospel from the time this country began. It's been established right. Now, I don't want to just deal with that side of things, but I do want us to be sober-minded. You precious young people, young families, you need to build your life on the word of God in prayer. Live for Christ. If you don't know him, you need to know him.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me. There's nothing in this world, nothing in this world whatsoever, that's more important than knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and serving him. And anything you put before him, it cannot be pleasing. He must have the preeminence.
Amen.
Now, I've dealt with the 77th Psalm, and I'm back there. And we're going to see this psalm unfold in a different way tonight. But this man has cried out to God. The people are crying out to God. We've read about this. We've preached about it. Down through verse number 9. And you know what's happened to him? He's come to the end of himself. And that's when God really does business with us, when we lay everything aside and he comes to us. And as he does come to us, we're in a state that we're ready to receive whatever he wants and do whatever he bids. But I want you to hear the words of a man that is on the bottom. A person that's waited before God because of the nation of Israel in those days. And they are not just here to be read, but I'm telling you they're here for our lives today, that it might give us direction and it might help us to see where we are. I'm reading verse 10. I'm not going to read the entire verse. I'm going to read the first part. The Bible said, and I said, here the psalmist is, this is my infirmity. Now, where is he? He's come to a place that he said, God, I can't handle this and I cannot dissolve these matters. I surely need you. The word infirmity means I'm weary. It means I'm wasted. It means I'm weakened. It means I'm grieved. And I sense that's where we are. I am grieved today because of sin that needs to be repented of, even among the saints. He said, I am in travail. I'm glad we can have travail of our soul. We ought to be travailing in our soul. Lord, break us. A broken and a contrite spirit God will not despise. And that is in a sinner that's lost or a sinner that's saved. Oh, and he said, I am worn. But you know what we are? We're God's creation. We belong to the Creator. And God did not just put you here where you could do what you want to do, but God put you and I here because we are created in his image, that we might know him as our Lord and as our Savior, and not only come to know him, but serve him with all of our heart and with all of our mind and with all of our soul. Oh, I want to pour my soul out to you tonight. It is high time that we wake out of our sleep. It is high time that we come to the place that we realize that this is no party. This world that we're living in is perishing without Christ. And our churches in most places have gone to sleep on God. And the remnant is all that is left. But I'm telling you, the remnant of God has great power because we have a great God. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah, he talks about the word of God and how it stands forever. He said in Isaiah 40 and verse 6, the voice said, cry. That's what we ought to do, and that's what we are doing. I hope we'll cry greater than we're crying. And he said, what shall I cry? Listen to this. All flesh is as grass. In other words, we're not going to be here very long. And he goes on to say, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. Without God, we are really a zero. It's that one thing, you're created in the image of God, and he sure wants you to know him. I would you'd come to him. The grass, and verse 7, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth because the Spirit of the Lord. What does it do? It bloweth upon it, surely the people is his grass. You know, we're going back to the dust. But thank God there'll be a resurrection day. I like this last verse, and we're going back to 77 Psalm. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. Young people, older people, middle-aged people, boys and girls, all of us get this. But the word of our God shall stand forever. He is our God. He is my God. And if he is not your God, he can be your God right now. He wants to bring you to himself. Oh, I like that. Now, I'm going to move from that, and I want to give you something. I want us to come back, and I want us to eventually get to the rest of this verse where he said, but I will remember. You know what he's going to remember? Oh, and how sweet it is. The years of the right hand of the Most High. That's the Creator. That's the God of the universe. That's the God of heaven and earth. And Church of the Living God, I want all of us to know this evening, and I rejoice in it. Have you ever realized in your heart who is behind what we are doing? Do you know him? If you don't know him, I would pray that God would bring you to the place that you would know him. We're not here to entertain, but we're here to do business with the Almighty. Amen. Oh, my, my. I'm telling you, this is a great truth. The Bible is saying here, and I'm going to get on track in a few moments, maybe. But the Bible is saying here, with God, all things are possible. Yes, sir. What about that? Sound like we've got some pretty good assurance, wouldn't you think? With God, all things are possible. It's not possible to have revival, is it, preacher? With God, all things are possible. I believe in the darkest days of what I've read about revival, and when things were the worst they had been in people's lifetime, that the saints of God prayed, and God heard, and God sent revival, and I'm praying that it'll happen in good old America. Amen. Are you praying? Are we walking with God? Oh, I like those songs tonight, every one of them. I like that in the John Newton. I'd heard that before. That thrills my soul. Listen to what the Bible said. This word's going to abide forever. I'm in Mark, and I'm going to give you one verse. You don't have to turn, but if you want to, you can. I'm in Mark 9:23. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canest believe. That's what we need to ask God. Do you ever help ask God? God, help my unbelief. If you can't believe God for revival, you can wear yourself out, and that's all right if you're getting to the point that you can really believe God. But until you believe God, you're just laboring in vain. Isn't that right? If thou canest believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's got continuous action. Believeth. I believed on him 66 years ago. In March, 66 years, I've been a Christian plus. And you know what? I'm still believing on him tonight. And you know what? He is still leading me tonight. And I know him better than I've ever known him, but I'd like to know him better. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my all in all. I praise him tonight. Oh, I love him tonight. All things are possible with God. I think I made this statement the other night. I want to make it again. Is there any river that you think is uncrossable? Preacher, we cannot get it done. No, but we can let God work through us and move through us and breathe on us and fill us with the power of the Holy Ghost and believe that this word's going to abide when everything else is burned down in this old world that we're living in of sin. I'm telling you, the God that we are preaching about and singing about and living about, I want you to know tonight that he is the God that can do all things. We believe him. I want you to know that there is nothing. Do you have anything? I thought about it. I said this the other night. I'd never seen any tunnels like there is in West Virginia. Which I've been around the world, but I've been in a few places. We got some in Tennessee, but there are many tunnels. I'm talking about small tunnels. All right, watch this. If you need to go through a mountain, God can send you through a mountain. If we need revival, God, and we do need it. And since we do need it, God is able to send it. You're not able to work it up or work it down. But I tell you, you can pray and you can wait on God and he can send it. And I believe he will. I believe it's up to the remnant of the church. There is pots. That's a country term, I guess. There's places, maybe there'll be a better word, across this nation and in other parts of the world. And they're concerned about what we're concerned about here tonight. And some of them are praying tonight for this meeting while we're here. I hope I don't get too loud. If I do, cut me down. My mother was a Whitfield, and they said George Whitfield would preach on he'd preach out in the field, and they could hear him for 2 miles, and he preached till we're 3,000 times, you must be born again. My wife said, you must be related to George Whitfield because he came out of Georgia, and I did too. Now, you may think I'm a little bit rowdy, but I tell you, I get a little bit rowdy when I think about what the God we're serving. Yes, sir. He's not dead, and I hope we're not. Yes. If you're dead in trespass and sin, come to Jesus. I got to move. All right, and watch this. And I want to tell you something about this God we're talking about. And he will do what man can never do. Amen. You want to get that? He can do what you and I can never do. But he can do through you and through me what you and I can never do. And I want to tell you something. I know this by practice and I know this by experience that God will never tell you to do anything, though you will probably feel incapable of whatever he tells you to do. But anything that God tells you to do, he will do it through you if you'll surrender to him your whole soul, spirit, body. We need total commitment, folks. Amen. We need separation from the world. We need our eyes to be on Christ. And oh, it's so much sweeter to be that way. I want to tell you some things about him. He is the sovereign God. Somebody said, well, I'm afraid things is going to get away. They're not going to get away from our God. If you serve Satan, you're in big trouble, and you know what? He's going to plunge you into the pit. Our God is powerful. He's not just a little bit powerful, but he is all power. All power's given unto me, Jesus said, in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why we're getting materials into North Korea where they tell you cannot get the gospel. It's going there every day and it's going while I'm preaching. I'm telling you, our God and his word cannot be stopped. We have a living God, a resurrected Savior. He got up out of the grave. Now, all of us may have different styles, but I'm telling you, we are serving the same God. I don't care if a man just stands in his tracks, but sometime when I get to preaching, it gets all, you know, it gets in my feet, even my hands. I tell you, God, he don't only come into you, he comes upon you, according to Luke. He ever come upon you? I tell you, you get in the glory once or twice, you probably won't never get over it till you get back there again. I'm telling you, he's the God of all power. He's the God of all wisdom. He is the revelator. He revelated himself to me sitting on pew 3 over there one night, 66 years ago. And I tell you, I met him that night and he saved me by grace. He showed me himself. He talked to me even before I saved. And I didn't hardly know what was going on, but you know what he was doing? He was bringing me to himself. This God's got all power in heaven and earth that we're preaching about and serving. You folks, if you're here and you're lost, you may think that this is a crazy place to be. It's the most wonderful place you could be right now. Because the Lord's here. All we need is knowledge. And he will give us knowledge. And he is giving us knowledge. And we need to continue to look to him. So, the psalmist said, I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Boy, that just puts a, you know, like, it's kind of like putting a tiger in your tank. It's just real. It's genuine. It's God. It's Almighty God. Oh, he said, you see, the songwriter was really low in verse 10, the first part. It was like a bass singer that's got as low down as he can. You that know music know a lot better. And they're sighing up to this point, but now they're singing in the glory. You like them songs that they start out a little slow and they build and they glorify the Lord and they glorify the Lord and they lift him high. Oh, he's to be praised. He's a great God. He is a good God. I believe we need to come with hearts of repentance and be like what the Bible said in Acts in chapter 3 and verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the time of what? All refreshing shall come from what? The presence of the Lord. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're praying for. There's a measure of his presence. But I believe it's building. Sometimes we're not willing to wait on God. There was a preacher friend, Dr. Dickerson's and myself. And he gave us, both of us, he was our mentor. And he was talking about a preacher down home. And he was all excited about some things. And he was easily get that way. He was a good friend. He is a good preacher. And he was preaching in a meeting something like this, our friend was. And he said to us, he didn't say it in the pulpit, but he talked about that brother. And he said, you know, he's kind of like this. He said he's going to Africa. And he thinks he's almost there and he hasn't left Dalton yet. And that's kind of the way we do if we're not careful in seeking revival and calling on God. Is that pushing it too far? Well, that might be. Well, how far is too far? I don't believe you can push it too far if you believe God. I saw God move in that church at Calvary in 1981 like I've never seen anything like. I've seen revivals, but I've never seen anything like that. Young people, you young people, if you'd really listen to God, it's yet to be seen what God can do for you. Revivals has come in the past and many of them has begun with young people like it's in this building tonight. You've got the energy. If you'd come to know Jesus and get full of him, get full of the Spirit, get full of the Word, and really just separate you from the world, consecrate yourself to God. The old timers back home years ago said, they'd talk about, I guess, being filled with the Spirit, and they'd say, he's consecrated. They'd say, she's a consecrated Christian. That means they were bubbling over with Jesus. They had the joy of the Lord. They had the power of God upon them, and the power of God in them, and the power of God through his precious word kept us going. I saw weeks come, but you know, I don't know how long. You didn't seem like you could stop it. You ever try to stop a train? You might stop a train, but you cannot stop God when he moves. I'm looking for him to move. I'm praying he will move. Oh, our nation's in trouble. Our churches are in trouble. Folks, well, you say, well, what if we don't have revival? You need revival. I need revival. What if we don't have revival across the country? You have never needed revival, and I have never needed revival any more than I do tonight. Because regardless of what looks like it's coming down the pipe, well, I've heard those stories before. You've never seen good old America like she is right now. We're in the hand of the enemy to a great extent right now. But I remember reading over there in Isaiah 59. He said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, said the Spirit of God will raise up a standard. There's not any enemies across the sea. There's not any enemies in Washington, D.C. And there's not any enemies across this country that can stop God Almighty and can stop the working power of the Spirit of God. Only God can send revival. Revival is different from evangelism. Revival is not evangelism. Revival is for the saints. You cannot revive something that's dead, but you can revive something that's asleep if you can get it woke up. And the saints of God, we've almost gone to sleep in our ways of life in this country, and this country around us is going to the pit. And only God can survive us, can save us. You believe that? I believe that's the way it is. There's men in this building tonight that gave their flesh and their blood, and there's people in here tonight that gave their loved ones for the liberty and for the freedom. You're preaching too much politics. I'm not preaching politics. I'm preaching truth. In this America that we have, we're the land of the home. We're the home and the land and the brave and the free. But are we going to lose it? We've lost a lot of it already. We need revival. Oh, we need revival. I want you to look at verse 10 again. And I want you to see some things. And we'll close it up. When the Lord gets through with this, I want you to notice in verse 10, first part, I want to go back there. I've entitled these three services, I Will Remember. And he said, I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Isn't that wonderful? Right hand of the Most High. That talks about the strength of God, that right hand. There's no strength like him. Right. Number two, I will remember the works. In verse 11, the second remember right here, I will remember the works of the Lord. That's what we need to see. Need to see the works of the Lord. I remember what? The wonders of the Lord. I remember his wonders of old. And God's mighty in many ways. There's a preacher friend of mine, he lived in Mississippi. And I saw him the other week, and he was on a walking cane. And he said, "Preacher, I don't know what's going to happen." And he said, "If I were to move the wrong way, that my hip could completely split. I could never walk again." We prayed for him. And he went for tests and all of these. And I got word today that they said they're going to do surgery this coming week. And he'll only be there for a day and he can go back home. That the things that they found don't seem to be what they thought it was going to be. That's just one of the wonders of God. Are you saved tonight? Do you know the Lord tonight? Did you know what? If you do, you experience the wonders of God. Now, there's a lot of people, and I don't mean this unkind, but they would tell you they don't believe in experiences. I believe in biblical experiences. In fact, if you have not had an experience of grace and you've not had an experience of walking with God, I wouldn't put any faith in what you say you have as salvation. God is real. He lives in you. And the person of the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, lives in you. He said, "I remember your wonders." And then he said this, and this is where we're off key, I think. A lot in these days, there's so much going on to draw you away, even if you're doing everything you can to serve God and you're trying to keep your mind on the Lord. There's so much out there. Dear young people, you are just as fine as any young people's ever been. But there's so many things out there to fill your mind, to keep your mind off of God, you cannot even imagine. And that's not only true of them, that's true of us as people. Isn't that right? I mean, you can sit down, you can have company now, and they'll come to the house and they'll sit down with you and you think they come to visit, and they'll sit over there with that thing and this dippity dick. They won't even look up to say, "How are you today?" Now, their minds are filled of things, and some of it may be all right, but most of it is no good. And if you're putting it before God, it's certainly no good. If you're saved, that's one reason we're not having revival. I know some folks who used to be faithful in church, and they're good people. And I believe they know the Lord. But now they can't get to church, and you know what they do? They sit in front of their TV all day and watch Fox News. Well, that'd run anybody crazy. I'm not against Fox News, but you better be established in this book. Preacher, you're just meddling and meddling, aren't you? Well, I'm going to try to do that, Pastor. Preacher. I thank you, Brother Morris. I want to meddle a little bit more. All right, watch this. Watch this. Verse number 12. He said, "I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings." I'll meditate. Where's our mind? I believe it was Duncan Campbell said that revival is when our hearts and our minds are filled with eternity. Another great preacher said, "You want revival? Get your heart as clean and come before God and ask Him to get your heart clean and be pure and separated and all this sideshow that many Christians have, get rid of it." And he said, if you want revival, I think this is pretty simple. You just take it to Jesus and you tell Him you want revival and you're asking Him for revival. Are you asking Him for revival? God shuts you up. You know, I've been busy. Been busy preaching and trying to be faithful to the Lord. And the 1st of May, God told me to go home and stay with Him and only do what I had to do. And I stayed home and went to my own church for 6 weeks and I waited on God. You're never losing time when you're waiting on God. You never wait on God. You don't ever come to a place that is a must in your life. Then I would say, you're not doing too much business with God. Amen. Thy works and talk about them. Isn't it good to talk about the Lord? Thy doings, he said. Thy works and talk about thy doings. Oh, he's a wonderful Lord. Do I need to stop there? Let me close this, and I may come back here. But let me close it with down through verse 15. He said, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? If you're a Christian, you can read that and believe it. We have a great God. The sanctuary is the holy place. The sanctuary of God is a place that you live separated from the world. If you study the Old Testament and the New, when you get saved, that's salvation. And when you go on and follow God, that's sanctification. You pour it all on the altar. You put your soul, you put your spirit, you put your feet, you put your hand, you put it all on the altar for Christ. That's total commitment. And that's what we need. You see, God will not use a dirty vessel. God wants us to get pure before him. I've been crying to God, search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. Try me, O God. Because that's scriptural according to the 139th Psalm. And we are usually not as close to God as we may think we are. Isn't that right? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. I like this one. Thy has with thy arm, that mighty arm of God is what he's talking about. Redeem thy people. We are redeemed people if we're saved. The sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. You've got three of those from verse 1 down through verse 15. And it simply means this. Think about that. Or you could probably put it another way. What do you think about that? I've delivered my soul. I hope I've been a help. I feel like I've obeyed God. Brother Marsh, you come.